Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Francis Bach, who is the chairman of the East Hampton Town Trustees. And at the moment, or maybe not, we'll find out shortly, the trustees and Mr. Bach personally, perhaps, owe about $700,000 to some lawyers and some oceanfront residences in Peg. But we'll get to that in a minute. Tell us a little bit about the trustees and what they are and how they began. Or maybe better yet, let's talk about this $700,000. How did this happen and what was it for? And what tell us about what it was.
Okay, so the East Hampton Town Trustees were granted ownership of the town in East Hampton by means of the Dongan patent. As such,
it was 1683, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. It was a long time ago.
Right.
And throughout history from that point, the trustees were selling off land. In 1882, they sold off 1,000 acres east of Amagansett to Arthur Benson. In that sale, they did retain a reservation for the use of the beach for fishing purposes.
What does that mean?
Okay, so it just retained the right for East Hampton residents to use the beach from, this is going to be approximate, from Napeague Lane down to the state park.
About 2 miles?
It's 4,000 feet.
Oh, but I'm at oceanfront.
Yes, oceanfront.
A little less than a mile.
Yeah. So what happened was this sale was, as I said, in 1882, the deed was filed.
1882.
And we all know how long it took to develop that land. So during that time, the beach was pretty much open for anybody to use. And it eventually got to a point where it became the de facto family beach, where local people would meet on the weekends. And granted, it did get very crowded. And so the current property owners brought a suit against the trustees to regain the beach. The board at that time won the case. The decision was actually handed down just after the current board took office. So we kind of inherited that. The property owners then appealed. They won the appeal. And the town and the trustees have appealed the fact that the decision did not include that reservation. So we have appealed trying to win that reservation back. In the meantime, due to some actions by the town that were perceived as contemptuous, we somehow got dragged into it, and the town was found guilty, as were the trustees. The trustees never had a day in court. We were never called to the courthouse. We were never called to the stand, never had an opportunity to defend ourselves. We were found guilty.
Well, let's be clear. The trustees are an agency connected to the East Hampton town government.
We're separate.
Yes, you're separate, but you are nevertheless, you are elected officials.
Correct.
Representing the townspeople.
But we're a separately elected board. We our funding comes from the town as far as its administrative costs are concerned.
So what happened in this case then?
Nobody's been able to explain that to me yet. I really don't know how we got dragged into actions by the town board.
But nevertheless, a court judge awarded this $700,000 fine and legal fee thing about 3 weeks ago, which resulted in a lawyer going to a bank where you had your bank accounts and having them shut down and seized, so you couldn't use them. Is that correct?
Correct. So in a case like this, the town gets an automatic stay and does not have to pay any of these charges while it's under appeal. The trustees don't have that same protection.
Why?
So it's just state law.
Oh.
We're not considered a municipality, and that would fall under municipal law. So the plaintiff's attorney used that as an opportunity to reach in and collect his fees, more or less. We have since posted a bond to cover that cost. It was...
Well, tell this is now 3 weeks later, I think.
It's more than that. This has been going on for probably a month and a half.
How have you been able to pay your bills, or haven't you?
Over the past month, we haven't. One thing we've done is we had payroll. So I asked the chairman, I have two co-chairmen. We were covering the payroll out of our pockets for 2 weeks. We then got the court to allow us to issue checks for payroll purposes only. Since then, some other invoices have come due. For example, our payroll software. I had to put that on my card. And the P.O. box, I had to cover that. So it's just been crazy, crazy stuff. As of this past Friday, though, we have gotten our accounts back.
Which is 4 days ago.
So correct.
It's a hardship.
Correct. This morning, the first checks were written from those accounts.
You have an office on Bluff Road, and I guess you have bills from heating and supply.
Well, that's covered by the town.
Oh, what were some of the things you couldn't pay over this time?
We run a pump out boat program. It's a free service in Three Mile Harbor and in Montauk. The season's just starting up. We were unable until now to get that program started because we weren't able to pay for the fuel to run the program, for one thing. We were able to cover the payroll on the boat captains, but any other costs we were not allowed to write a check for. So there was a delay in getting that program started. Other bills, there's insurances that we weren't able to pay immediately. Payroll tax, we were not allowed we could file, but we weren't able to pay. So it's been difficult.
Well, this judge who agreed to these fines also had issued a fine of $250,000 separately against the town which owns the airport, for what they described as impertinent behavior or some such thing. And that was recently thrown out.
Correct.
By another judge.
Yes. Yes, the original judge retired.
Yes.
And Judge Whalen has taken his place.
Do you think they might do the same with these bills?
I can't say. It's been very difficult to predict what this court will do.
Why did the trustees get founded originally back in the colonial times? Tell us a little about that. That's one of the longest running governmental bodies, the trustees in the country.
Yeah.
Well, before the country as well.
It was, yeah. 1686. What was something like that, yeah. It's a very long time ago. The original settlers were able to get a patent from Thomas Dongan, I believe. He was the New York governor.
Yep.
That gave them the land. Now, I don't know what went on between the governor and the natives that were here, but somehow the governor got ownership and passed that ownership to the original settlers of East Hampton Village. And it's just remained ever since.
It's like I said, it's one of the oldest governmental agencies that is out here.
Yeah.
The places that you're in charge of include wetlands and ponds and pond bottoms and stuff. What other places?
Well, we own a lot of the oceanfront beaches. We own bayfront beaches, harbor bottomlands, as you said, various ponds around East Hampton. We have some old roads that were used historically for the purpose of gathering firewood and getting to some of these places to do fishing through Northwest Woods and such. We also have the land out in Louse Point, which started out as a squatter's village for the baymen and has since become this bayfront colony where we have land leases for the residents. I think that there's about 60 homes there.
If the original decisions were made by a judge against the people who owned the property, we're talking about land that extended from the back of the beach to the water line, I believe. And the trustees and the East Hampton residents had the rights to go there and the access. What wording was different? Because I seem to remember reading that what the early judge's decision said, there was absolutely nothing in the deeds that could support the claim by the property owners who all built beach houses since 1960 on this property that would enable them to take ownership of it. And yet an appeals judge reversed that. Do you have any idea what he might have come up with that the earlier judge did not?
I really can't. I actually have the reservation here in front of me if you'd like me to read it to you.
Sure.
Okay, so this is from the deed. Also accept and reserved to the inhabitants of the town of East Hampton the right to land fish, boats, and nets, to spread the nets on the adjacent sands and care for the fish and materials as has been customary heretofore on the south shore of the town lying westerly of these conveyed premises. So, I mean, I read that as the traditional fishing, which right. has changed over time. I mean, back then they were using horse and wagons to pull their nets.
Right.
We now have vehicles. But it doesn't say that. It says that we have access to it.
Yes, it does.
So I don't see how the judge could have read it differently.
I don't either.
Honest.
There was a demonstration that took place that many I don't know about the trustees attending, but a lot of local residents went out there anyway after the judge's decision for an afternoon and flagrantly, you know, went fishing, you know, or drove around on the beach, and they subsequently were dismissed because everybody was horrified at this turn of events.
Well, it was actually a trespass charge. It was organized by local baymen. The trustees did not partake in that act. And so it was a trespass charge that they were hit with. But in order to do that, somebody had to sign a complaint, and the residents refused to do that. So that's why those charges were dropped.
Anyway, tell us, I know that you ran for office. How many trustees are there, and how often do they run for election?
Okay, so there are 9 board members. We have, up until recently, been running as a group. So there were 9 seats available every 2 years. This past election, we were able to get the state to agree to extend those terms to 4 years. And what we did was we wanted to stagger the election. So this past election, the top 5 vote getters received a 4-year term. Huh. The balance got a 2-year term. They will be running again in the next, won't be this election, it'll be the one after.
And how long have you been a trustee?
Too long. I ran 2 terms, 2000, I think it was like 2004 and 2006. I then left the board because I took a job with the town, and the Hatch Act wouldn't allow me to sit on an elected board. That changed in 2007, I believe. And so since 2009, I have been back on the board.
What do you do?
I'm sorry, it's 2014.
Right. And these are voluntary, these are unpaid positions, is that correct?
There's a small stipend.
So what do you do for your real job? What is your background?
I can happily say I'm now retired.
What did you do during your are you born and raised from here in East Hampton?
I am, yes.
Are you related to the Bach that fixes sports cars on next to the IGA in Amagansett?
He's my nephew.
I see. Yes. He fixes mine.
Ah, okay.
Good guy too.
Before retirement, I worked for the town in the Office of Housing and Community Development, doing affordable housing.
That was your career for the most part?
I did it for 16 years.
Do you like living out here? Have you enjoyed the changes that have taken place since those early days?
You adjust to the changes.
Around anymore?
We've adjusted to the changes, as have you.
Yeah.
You know, there's good memories of the old East Hampton, but it is what it is today, and it's not a bad place.
No, it isn't. Are the trustees going to survive and thrive?
I believe so. Yeah.
It's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for being on the podcast. And I will, is there any other questions you'd like to bring up or answer?
No, I'm good. I just hope people will support us. Let me say one thing about this lawsuit. I believe that the majority of the property owners really don't have a clue of what's going on in the day-to-day part of this case. There's a couple of people who are driving it. The rest of them are just part of their homeowners associations, and they'll get an occasional report. I think there's a fear that if we win, that Truck Beach is going to go back to what it was. Truck Beach will never be again what it was. Hmm. We're just trying to regain the reservation so that people like you or I or anybody else who holds a state permit to fish can drive through there when the fish are running, cast their rod, and move on. You know, it's really nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And I think if they really understood what we're hoping for, that they would be a bit more forgiving.
Well, it's been quite a trial, I suppose. I guess
it really has. Yeah.
Thank you for being on the podcast, and I will see you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
You too.